back in chapter 6, Governing Principle of Raising Breakthrough Believers, part 3. All right. I'm going to review a few things here in this principle 1, governing principle number 1. Talks about honoring covenant relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. We said that every breakthrough believer in the apostolic base must be trained to honor the bonds of covenant that exist within relationships ordained and joined by God. So we said that these breakthrough believers, they have to be trained. It's not going to be something that's just going to fall on them, but they have to be trained. Mm-hmm. And we said that those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy will reject any loyalty, commitment, and integrity in any long-term relationship. We also said that we must give value to all God-ordained relationships, whether it's between Christians or otherwise. There are no two standards for relationships. In fact, the relationship between Christians should go beyond the basic righteousness of man and operate on divine principles. So we must take it to the next level. Then we said that marriage is a covenant, not a contract. So it does not operate as a partnership between two people or who mutually bless each other. In a contract, these reciprocal benefits can hold a marriage relationship together, but the force to hold the couple together will become weaker over the years. All right. We said that, to death do us part can only be fulfilled when a relationship is founded on covenant, not just a contract or marriage license. So when we understand the nature and spirit of covenant, we can see how it will protect us from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, God is the God of covenant, and all his dealing with mankind have been on the basis of covenant. And so one of the things, I don't know if I mentioned this, but covenant is really based on love and loyalty, respect. And see, if there's no love, loyalty, and respect, that's really not a real covenant. So we have to understand that. And see, it's so important for us as breakthrough believers in this generation. I really believe that God is raising up people who really gonna understand and take it to the next level. Unless we understand covenant, there's no way in the world we're going to be able to really advance the kingdom of God the way God has really purposed us to. So now, every promise in the Bible and every requirement of the believer is based on the grounds of covenant. The whole thing is covenant. See, your faith is not any good without your understanding of covenant. If you don't understand covenant, your faith doesn't have anything to stand on. See, we have to understand that God has already, God cut covenant with man. And so God is really responsible for us to accomplish the thing that we're supposed to accomplish, because God is the one who has established this thing. So with the covenant, I understand that God is always, he's always backing me. And a covenant, we said that it cannot be broken even by death. The results of breaking a covenant has to be by death. But the thing about it is, covenant is not broken when a person dies, because it's really supposed to go to the next generation. You know what I'm saying? So in covenant living with God, he is bound to honor his word, bound to it. He bound to it. God cannot go back on his word because he made a covenant with us. You understand what I'm saying? So when you understand how powerful covenant is, and we understand how when God made the covenant with Abraham, how God began to, you know, God called Abraham, asked Abraham who was in his house and that kind of thing and stuff. And Abraham was talking about, you know, his relatives and stuff. God said, no, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something out of your bowels, your own bowels. I'm going to cut a covenant with you. You're going to have a child. And so even though Abraham was old, and the Bible talks about how Sarah was past, she was past age and that kind of thing and stuff. And really, Sarah was barren. But the thing about it is, when God make a promise, none of that matter. No, nothing is impossible for God. That's why when God told Sarah she was going to have a baby and she laughed, God said, is there anything impossible for me? So when you understand covenant, you understand there is nothing that can stop God from doing what he said he's going to do. So what it does, it calls us to have a strong faith. But we have to understand covenant in every relationship. It has to be that love, that loyalty, that respect, and that kind of thing. All right. So I said that God's word is full of promises, but we must do our part so that the promise becomes covenant. God invited Abraham to enter into a covenant with him. God promised Abraham that the covenant would never be nullified. He said it wasn't going to ever be nullified. All right. Even if Abraham died, thus reinforcing the covenant through Abraham's descendants. So God had to find somebody to cut covenant with because God had to get Jesus in the earth. So in order to get Jesus in the earth, he had to find somebody who was going to cooperate with him. So here he is. He cuts this covenant with Abraham because out of Abraham would come a nation, right? Out of that nation would come a family. Out of that family was going to come a woman. And out of that woman, amen, she was going to give birth to the Messiah. But the thing about it is, so God had to find somebody he could trust. And so that is why God had to test Abraham. Abraham had to go through a test once God cut covenant with him. See, because when a person, whenever a covenant is cut, whatever belongs to you belongs to the other person. Whatever belongs to the other person belongs to you, right? So God, after God cut covenant with Abraham, he asked Abraham, he said, okay, Abraham, since, you know, what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. He said, okay, I want that son you got. You know, the one that was promised to you. And God had told Abraham, you know, that he was going to be the father of many nations and stuff. Now, watch this. All right. God tells him that he's going to be the father of many nations. But now, God asked Abraham to sacrifice the boy. So now Abraham, because of the covenant, because God can't go back on his word, so Abraham knows that, okay, I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice, but in offering him as a sacrifice, God's got to raise him up. Something got to happen because God has promised me. So the covenant is so strong, Abraham had no trouble. We don't see nowhere in Scripture where Abraham resisted God. We see nowhere in Scripture where Abraham said, well, Lord, this is all I got. And you asking me to sacrifice this? No, because Abraham understood. See, in our Western culture, we don't understand covenant. We understand contract. A contract can be broken. A person can change their mind about a contract. But with a covenant, it's stronger than that. And so a person who really understands covenant knows that, okay, watch this. When God, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, when God, let's go there. Let's go there right quick. Let's go there right quick. Show you something. 15th chapter of Genesis. All right. Now, watch this. Verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not. All right. Abraham, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now watch this. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So now, watch this. God has brought Abraham out because Abraham used to worship the moon. Abraham was like an astrologer. He worshiped the moon and the sun. So God said, I'm going to give you something. God's going to give you something that you're familiar with. Now, I want you to look up at the stars. Now, your seed going to be like the numbers of the sun. Is going, if you could count them, so shall your seed be. So now, when Abraham's looking up, see, God has to give Abraham a point of reference so that Abraham can believe, can have something so that he can believe what God is saying. All right? So God tells him to look. And so, you know, you have an imagination, right? Abraham had an imagination. So when God tells him to look at the stars, so Abraham had to start seeing faces on those stars. So because something happened when that happened, the Bible says in the next verse, look what it says in the next verse. And he believed in the Lord. And it was counted for him. Now, Abraham wasn't already believing in the Lord. But when God told him, now watch this. Look what he says now. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land for an inheritance. And he said, Lord God, look what he says. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How know you telling me the truth? How do I know that what you are saying that's going to happen, because you got to realize now, Abraham, Sarah, they're old now, and God has promised him, you know, that the child that's in his house, that's his heir, God said, no, you won't have a son, all right? So Abraham want to know, how in the world shall I know that I'm going to inherit this? The next thing that he said was, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a sea goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, why in the world would God be talking about giving him a son, and then God go right off into, and so Abraham asked the question, how do I know that you're telling me the truth? And the first thing God said, hold on, I want you to, we're going to cut a covenant. He understood what God was saying when God said, take a heifer. He knew right away, oh, this is serious. This is serious. Now God is asking me, see, if you weren't from that part of the world, then you would not readily understand what God was saying when God first told him to take a heifer. But because of where they had come from, and because of the custom, he understood right away that God was talking about, I'm about to make a covenant with you, and this covenant cannot be broken. Hallelujah. So they went through that thing, and the Bible says, now, you got to realize now, with a covenant, you know, you have to have a representative, that kind of thing and stuff. So God was not physically representing himself. He said, take me a heifer. You understand what I'm saying? So God said, this is going to take my place. So he cuts it in half, and they had what they call was a bloody walk. They walked through it, and then they began to speak the terms of the covenant. See, just like a lot of people don't know what's going on in Deuteronomy 28. But in Deuteronomy 28, you know, they got curses and they got blessings in there. That is part of the covenant ceremony. So if you break the covenant, then all these curses going to come on you. But if you keep the covenant, all these blessings going to come on you. You understand? So they understood. So whenever they would walk through that bloody walk, they would begin to start reciting the terms of the covenant. So, you know, because they had a covenant, it has to be agreed upon by both parties. All right. So what the author is trying to say to us is that once we understand covenant, then once we get into relationships, we're not going to be flaky. We're not going to be in and out and that kind of thing and stuff. Especially if you're going to do a work for God, you have to be serious about the people that you connected with. And first of all, ministry, when it comes down to ministry really starts at home first. So there's nowhere in the world that you can. Let me go back to the lesson. I just wanted to kind of point that out, how strong this covenant thing is. So it says here, So God took personal responsibility to fulfill every word of the promise, even after Abraham's death. So God takes his covenant personal. Praise God. All right. In establishing an understanding among the believers of the power of a covenant with God, we are laying strong foundations for other wholesome relationships within the house. Y'all still with me? Now, the beneficiary of any covenant relationship is the next generation. So that's why with this finishing generation, we have to understand that even watch this. Even when it comes down to God has when a person get married and there's children in the marriage and that kind of thing. Now, really, God put your children in your family because there is something that you are supposed to impart into them. You're supposed to teach them and train them in the admonition of the Lord. And when you don't teach your child the ways of God, it is really child abuse.
That's right.
It's child abuse. That's what real child abuse is. It's God putting a child in your family and you don't teach that child the things of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because really, there's some things that you may be called to do, but your offspring is going to carry it further.
Yes, sir. Yes, right.
You understand what I'm saying? All right. Just like the apostle is teaching us, and he's got sons and daughters. You know, he have his biological children, and then he have his spiritual children. Are y'all with me here? So that's one of the things that he's doing by pouring into us. There are some things that God has used him to do that we are going to extend. We're going to carry this thing further than he's carrying it. You got to see it. And see, it's not going to happen if you don't understand covenant. You don't understand. So if the apostle is trying to correct us and he's rebuking us and he's trying to bring us to a place of spiritual maturity. If the covenant is not in place, of our understanding of the covenant is not in place, then we'll run off, go to another church. And the thing that God has promised to do through us, we'll miss it. God will raise somebody else up in our place and give them the reward that you were going to get. Hallelujah. So that's why it's so important for us to understand it. You know, in our marriage, when it comes down to ministry teams and stuff, with us working with other people in ministry, amen, we have to understand covenant, because the only way we can get something accomplished, there has to be loyalty to our leader. There has to be love. There has to be respect. And then we have to love, honor, respect each other. Because if we don't love and honor and respect each other, we're not going to be able to get the job done.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe, just like the apostle was talking about tonight, was talking about how, you know, 50% of Jesus' ministry has been left out because I believe that a whole lot of folk don't even understand covenant. And when you don't understand covenant, see, in order for you to really be about getting people free, first of all, there has to be a love and a respect, amen, for the people that you're serving.
That's right.
Are y'all with me here?
Right.
And so we have to come to a place where we understand that God is trying to mature us, and we have to come to a place where the little petty stuff, it doesn't bother us anymore, because we have to be more concerned about taking care of the work of the kingdom. So if everything is geared toward us, who made us mad? Who said something about us? Who talked about us? If that's the thing, then we're going to be so bogged down with things that ourselves. See, this, Lord, help me say this the right way. A covenant is really not even based on us. It's based on the person that we're in covenant with.
Amen. That's right.
So our most concern has to be to the people that the other people that we're in covenant with. So I can't always be thinking about how I'm going to make it, how this going to happen, or how that's going to happen. I have to be thinking about the other person, the other people that I'm in covenant with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in my prayer time, I'm not spending up a whole lot of time praying, you know, God bless me and my four and no more, because I am in we are in covenant together. And the only way we'll be able to really fulfill the vision that God has given, amen, to the man and the woman of God, is that we learn how to see Covenant is based on the agape. It's not based on eros. It's not based on filial and those kind of love that surface. But it's based on, oh, Jesus. It's based on the unconditional love of God. And the Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And so if we're not being Holy Ghost led at all times, then guess what? We're not going to really be able to walk in the love of God. Well, God is loving through us. Amen. You understand? So if I don't understand covenant, I'm not going to forgive folk. I'm not. See, all this stuff the enemy is using to keep us at bay. And like the apostle was saying, that's why, you know, a whole lot of folk, they may not be demon possessed, but they influenced and they oppressed by the devil. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because everything is focused on them and how they're going to make it and that kind of thing and stuff. Now, God is interested in holy seed, a godly offspring coming forth in the covenant relationship of marriage. When we live within the contract of covenant, we can tap into the abundance of God's provision, protection, and favor. There are blessings we cannot receive until we are part of God's covenant. Whoa. Yeah, until we are part of God's covenant, until we understand that even though faith allows us to access into the partial benefits of this covenant, it is a covenant life that gives us the full privilege as sons and daughters of covenant. Hallelujah. Now, so even though, you know, that there's people who, you know, they're trying to work their faith. But the Bible even says that faith works by love. So unless we connect it to the covenant, the faith won't work. But then, you know, the Bible talks about how God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So there are some things that may be happening from, but they're not getting the full benefit. You with me? All right. So there are many who operate in faith and have tapped into the blessings of the covenant, but they are merely receiving the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In essence, they are living a dog's life. They're receiving crumbs when God got so much more for them. So much more that God has for us. When we understand covenant, we begin to live a covenant life. You understand? Our loyalty to God first, our respect for God, our honor for God, and then the people who God has placed in our life, and then the people who God has placed us in covenant with in order to carry out the assignment of God. We can't do it without understanding how deep covenant is. Can't do it. Can't do it, because soon somebody make you mad, you'll find another church to go to. Soon somebody make you mad, you'll find, you know, you'll be saying, is this pastor you the one, or should I look for another? We'll be doing, you know, like John the Baptist did Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Now, if we choose to walk in covenant, we can partake of the bread of the master, not the crumbs, but the bread. And live like sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs of Christ, with Christ. So the author states that there are blessings of the Father and blessings of God. Ooh. Now, the blessings of God are seen, for example, when the sun shines and rains and falls on the just and unjust. However, the blessings of the Father are only observed for the sons and daughters, and they will receive all that he is gathering for them and all that he has. Now, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the prodigal son, you know, when he had went off. And he had spent all his living, rods of living. But the older son was there, and the older son, he was complaining about, you know, the other son, what the father had did for him. He, you know, you never gave me a fatted cow. You know, you never threw a party for me. You never gave me a robe, a ring, and that kind of thing. But the father said, all that I have is yours. So this is what when we understand covenant, we understand that, we have all that the Father has. It belongs to us. So we're not illegitimate. We're not stepchildren. We are children of the Most High God. And so when we understand that, we understand that all that the Father has belong to us. So also, an example, look at Genesis 25. Genesis 25, yeah. Hold on 1 second. Let me see. Let me get this right. All right. Genesis 25. Verse 5 says, and Abraham gave all that he had, all that he had, all that he had. Because why? Because he was his father under Isaac. All that he had under Isaac. And unto the sons of his concubines. You know, these other folk, these other women that Abraham, you know, that had children for Abraham, which he had, you know, they were illegitimate kids. It said Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. So you see that was a difference, right? That was a difference how Abraham did with the promised son, the one who God had promised him. See, at first, the reason Abraham and Sarah got in trouble with, you know, the other child, because they trying to help God. A lot of times we trying to help God accomplish what God know what to do. See, but because they were looking at themselves, they were looking at their condition, they were looking at their age. So she said, Sarah said, well, Abraham, you know, I got a maid, you know, you can go ahead and get a child by her. But that wasn't what God designed. God, that was a promised child, the child of the covenant, who was Abraham. Who was Isaac? So Isaac received all that Abraham had. So Abraham said, okay, these other kids, you know, they are mine, but I can't give them all that I'm giving to Isaac, because Isaac is the promised child. Isaac is that child, is the child of the covenant, where Ishmael wasn't the child of the covenant. You with me? So it's a difference. So now when we don't understand covenant, then we'll live like Ishmael. God will give us gifts, but the person who understands covenant and live the covenant life, all that God has, God is willing to give to that person.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Could it be a lot of times we praying and we're not receiving from God? It's because we have not understood the covenant life. And so God is only blessing us as much as he can, because we refuse to really lock on and understand the covenant. The Bible saying all you're getting, get some understanding. You understand? So unless we really understand how this covenant works and how God established this thing, all relationship that God got to do with it, God does about covenant. All right. Now, in the natural, a father will leave. Now, think about this. There's no way that you, as a mother, a father, whatever, would leave. You're going to leave an inheritance for your neighbor's children. No, but those that are yours, you're going to leave. Whatever it is you have, you'll leave it for them. Praise the Lord. You know, somebody gets spiritual. So, well, I'll leave a little something. No. Even if you give them a little something, you ain't going to leave what you're going to leave for your children.
That's right.
That's the point. You understand what I'm saying? So when we understand covenant, amen, we're not really walking in our son and daughtership, our sonship.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Until we understand that. So now, it's vitally important in covenant relationship that the parties to the covenant be on one accord, as one man, with one agenda. If not, the covenant will not be fulfilled. Covenant relationships are incomplete if we choose different destinies in life. Hallelujah. Now watch this. All right. I'm a son of the apostle. All right. The apostle got an assignment. God gave him a rhema word for the body of Christ. Money coming, right? Okay, all right. So now, with me being his son, if I take another route, say, well, you know, I'm not gonna teach you about finances. I'm gonna go this route, because when you teach about finance, you know, people talk about you. So I want the road of less resistance. So I'll just teach on, you know, healing or something like that. And nothing, I'm not saying nothing wrong with any other subject to preach on, but I'm saying that because God has raised up an apostle and he's given him sons, and I happen to be a son of the covenant. So and his mission is not to go around raising money, but to raise the people level of thinking up. And so my assignment has to be the same thing, unless I'm not a real son.
All right, come on.
Hallelujah. And so this is what people have a problem at. I've seen folk, man, with this thing. So they say, you know, I know, you know, my pastor say this here, but the Lord told me this. You know, I know my apostle, you know, I go around saying, you know, I know my apostle, you know, he teach on finances. And the thing about it is, people get delivered. He's not just preaching on it. So in other words, like he was saying tonight, he's not just preaching something without results, because results is happening in people's lives.
That's right.
Matter of fact, the pastor that was sitting right by me, Pastor Early, he was just sharing with me that he had a church that was for lease. He was renting for lease, rent to own or whatever. And he was just sharing with me that the people, they had the praise and everything. He'd been there for several years now. But he owed, the people wanted to sell it to him for like 60-some thousand, 70-some thousand, 700,000, 600, 700,000, somewhere in there. And so he said they had an appraise, and it appraised for over $1 million. So the people came back and said, if you can find somebody to finance it or whatever and stuff, we're going to reduce the price to 500,000. So somebody who is following the apostle, they being delivered in their finances. See what I'm saying? So the apostle don't just have a word. There's results that's happening in people's lives. People getting results. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. I don't want to tell you what the Lord doing in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I can tell you one thing. There was a time when, I lived in, my house was 1,050 square feet, the house I lived in. I lived in that house for 21 years with 3 children. 2 bedrooms, but we got 3 children. And, I started following the apostle, and God started supernaturally doing some things. And I was sitting here, at Word of Life, and the Lord spoke to me. It was during a prosperity revival years ago. And the Lord spoke to me. We was in that 1,000 square foot house, and the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, I want you to give $1,500. And so I told my wife, I said, the Lord said for us to give $1,500. So she went in her checkbook and looked at, you know, what she had in there. She said, that's all we got. I said, well, I didn't know how much we had. That's what the Lord said. Let's just go and give it. My wife, she just threw me the checkbook, just threw it to me. Because God was trying to get us out of that little hut we was in. And so it must have been a few months after that. It wasn't long after that. Maybe 4 months. I don't remember how long it was. But uh, uh, God blessed us with a house that was, let me see. The house is five times bigger than the one that I was living in. So, and I'm saying that to say this, that covenant and being in covenant with somebody, if you really connect it properly, you'll begin to see results that's on their life start happening in your life. Yes. It'll start happening, show as the world, it'll start happening. I mean, because God honors that. See, we can be contrary and we can feel like, you know, I was just going to follow somebody so close. You know, I got my own mind. Nobody say you didn't have your own mind. But the thing about it is we have to be able to follow the person who God has placed in our life. And that's why it's so important for us to really have communion with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can always be directing us at all times. Because there's no way that we can keep from making wrong turns operating in our own senses, our own flesh, and that kind of thing and stuff. So if we need the Holy Spirit's leading. So whenever the apostle is talking, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to talk to me about what he's talking about that's tailor-made for my situation and what I'm in. You understand? So you may hear one thing. The Holy Spirit, because of something else I'm dealing with, Holy Spirit is breaking it down to me a whole different way so that I can apply it to my situation. You with me? So it's so important. Like I see so many people who miss it. Man, they just miss it. They miss it because they think they know. Don't have no Holy Spirit guidance. They know a few scriptures. You know, it's one thing to have scripture knowledge, but it's another thing to have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. So if I have just knowledge without the wisdom, then the knowledge really don't do me no good. So following, being in covenant relationship, man, is one of the strongest things that God really, if you look, I mean, all through the scripture, man, all through the scripture, there was covenants being cut and that sort of thing and stuff. And whenever a covenant was cut, you know, that was a long-lasting friendship, and then it went into the next generation and that sort of thing and stuff. So y'all finish studying that sixth chapter, and we'll finish it up next week. All right? Praise God.